Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here we are for another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I am the lovely Wing. This is the lovely Seffi. Seffi, give us a beautiful hint of your voice.
Hi.
Oh, so beautiful. And today we are maybe cancelling ourselves. We're talking about wokeness, policing culture, holding people accountable, the nuance that is and isn't afforded to all of these situations, and whether it's only a matter of time until this podcast is no more because we have been cancelled. And you may have been cancelled too.
If you've been affected by cancelling, this episode is for you.
Nice, nice. This is the joke we needed. Yeah. Okay, yeah, perfect. I think this episode is really, I'm not going to lie, we've already recorded it. And I thought it was really nice. I feel like it's the convo that I would want to listen to. I'm happy that we had it. It feels quite freeing.
I feel like I haven't heard people speak quite freely about cancellation without being scared. Mm. We go quite in.
Are you saying we're revolutionary?
I'm saying we've started a revolution.
Are you saying we're the figurehead of the anarchy?
I'm saying I'm the Mockingjay and you're my Peter.
Okay, imagine there's two people about to record a podcast on cancel culture and they're too scared to start the podcast in case they get cancelled.
Because that's what's happening.
That's the reality of what we're doing right now, yeah.
It's quite terrifying because the more you talk about cancel culture, almost the eyes kind of peel back and they're all on you and it's suddenly like, shit, it's our turn now.
Yeah.
But I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine to be cancelled.
Yeah, do it.
Seffi and Wing are over party. I can't wait. Who's coming? You're all invited. Mm. What are you going to wear? Oh my God.
Let's get the champagne out.
Yeah.
Party poppers.
So, cancelling, hey? Pretty crazy.
It is a crazy fucking world we found ourselves in.
And also kind of just like the woke competition and the policing lifestyle. Should we go in with somebody's message? Put the blame on you guys.
There was one that I really liked, a DM that I've saved, because there's one person in this that they mentioned. They call out names.
Oh.
And there's one person in this that I particularly want to talk about because you know I have a relationship to this person. Don't say who you think it is yet.
Okay.
Not a relationship with this person. Never met them.
No, I wouldn't imagine that you had a relationship.
But a lifelong, since I was about 10, have been obsessed with this person who now is atrocious and was always atrocious. Work out from these names which one you think it will be, because you name about 10 people.
It's like Adolf Hitler.
I've been obsessed with him since I was 10.
Since I was about 10.
Honestly, some of the names in these. Cancel culture is truly a place for people to sit behind a computer screen with a superiority complex and tell people that they're awful based on one thing that they've done wrong and haven't heard the full story, e.g. what's happening with Unjaded Jade right now. However, properly cancelling someone, e.g. J.K. Rowling or Trump or Pete Evans, that's who I'm obsessed with, jokes, is important. It's important because they get deplatformed and discourse is started about why the information they're putting out is wrong. But then again, how many times has Shane Dawson, that's the one,
wink, wink,
James Charles, Jeffree Star, etc. been cancelled and people are willing to forgive them super easily, possibly because they're white, wealthy men? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, no one is perfect. Cancelling people, specifically influencers with a social consciousness who are clearly trying their hardest and make mistakes, is ridiculous and is just people trying to feel powerful when they're just fucking sad.
Mm.
All in all, cancel culture sucks, but deplatforming people is important when a person is genuinely a detriment to society. Mic drop.
Yeah, should we end it there? Ultimately, this cancel culture, policing, whatever, it all feeds back to like morality and ethics. And ultimately, everyone's moral compass is going to be slightly off. But I think the problem we have with cancel culture at the moment is that you've got a group of people, say, who could largely have the same morals. But instead of finding like the common enemy and starting a revolution and like trying to change the world for what they would view as the better, they start looking in on each other and trying to kick people out of the group or
trying to prove that you are the untouchable one. And I think it's often people that have some racism in their family or have some homophobia in themselves and things like that, that try and look at other people to try and make themselves, like, convince themselves that that doesn't exist within themselves.
This is the problem, isn't it? And this is what we say quite often, is like, if you're raised in a society where there is, like, patriarchy, it's homophobic, it's racist, it's ableist, it's all of these things, of course you've internalized those. Because you live here too, like, you haven't been given, you haven't been dropped off by a stalk from the void.
You don't exist in a vacuum.
Yeah, you don't exist in a vacuum. You are like an amalgamation of everything that you've been shown. Did you watch the Framing Britney documentary? I know you haven't watched it yet, because if you had, we would have spoke about it.
Not yet. Because the UK is just, where can you fucking find it? So many fucking articles, Cosmopolitan, fucking everywhere, going, how you can watch it? You didn't fucking say it in the article, bitch.
They say how you can watch it and they're like, wait.
Yeah, like, how can I watch it though?
How you can watch it, top tips, wait 2 weeks.
Mm.
Well, I found it on like a Britney fan site, like a Brazilian Britney website. It was really good. But anyway, if you have seen it, great. But if you haven't, the gist of what I'm about to say is that you're watching kind of a sequence. You're watching a sequence of events from like starting from like the 90s and the early 2000s, which, I mean, I'm 24, you're 24. I have memories of this time. Watching this documentary, it feels like so long ago that a young, literally like a 19-year-old girl would be quizzed about like kind of like a boob job in such an overt way.
And like Justin Timberlake has said some bad things about you. Do you want to answer them? And it's like, what?
Yeah. In kind of the grossest way. And it's really easy to think we have come so far, but that time is still in all of us.
Yeah.
Because my 6-year-old self was doing that, was mimicking that. And I am still that same person. I haven't changed. Obviously, I have changed massively, but I'm still that person that has internalized all of those things.
You're still playing Pokemon.
Still playing Pokemon, still playing Sims, still loving Harry Potter, despite the author being transphobic. Here we are, messes of people. It's a big mess.
Well, this is why I wanted to talk about this message in particular, because the fact that she mentions, I mean, we've been wanting to talk for ages about Shane Dawson and the fucking mess that is that kind of YouTuber community. I was so happy that this was brought up in terms of cancel culture, because I remember at the time I was like, I'm not even ready to discuss Shane Dawson, because it has been...
Well, you'd kind of been groomed by him, right? Like, you were kind of a victim.
I was groomed by Shane Dawson,
to be honest.
But it's funny how willing we are to forgive someone when we know. We all knew he was releasing that fucking palette with fucking Jeffree Star, blah, blah. We all fucking knew his history, but there was this huge narrative of he's changed. He hadn't changed. There's no way. He was still making all the same jokes. But it took this huge like cancellation for us to see it. So I do see the case for cancellation in terms of, you need a big social movement to make people look at the old stuff, look at his pedophilic behavior, look at his racism, look at his fat phobia, look at all of these things. And yes, it's nuanced, but there is a case for that when it's white men getting away with things they should not be getting away with. And it's disgusting. And there are 12-year-old girls with an attachment to him. Mm. I built up an attachment with someone that is asking 10-year-old girls to twerk on the internet when I was 12, and I've continued to support him throughout my life with my views and with my likes.
But do we need a public movement to generate change?
No,
we don't. Yeah, but also, like, yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, there are pros and cons, but do we need a social movement to get someone to change? Because the problem is, and a lot of people said on the stories, which, if you want to be in the convo, come to our Instagram at Sephie and Wing, and we do stories all the time about the upcoming episodes, and you give amazing insights that are far superior to anything we could talk about.
Yeah, we need to kind of really make a moment of, go to our Instagram. So many people are finding us through the podcast. Go to our Instagram at Sephie and Wing.
I'm Wing, by the way. This is Wing's voice.
And this is Seffi's voice.
Stunning.
People were getting quite confused. I think we do have
I think people are getting confused. People are getting the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, they really are.
Which is fine. If I'm getting confused with anyone.
Wing's getting messages saying, when did she know she was bisexual? So we need to clarify who's who.
Yeah, but do we need a big social movement to generate change in one individual? So a lot of what people were saying on the stories is that the problem is, we're so ready to cancel people that we actually have no idea about their behaviours. Really, we don't know anything about them, but we find it difficult to broach these topics amongst our friends. Like, I know countless white people, I really do, know countless white people who are in like group chats with other white people where racist jokes will be made, and they will not call out their friends, but you would happily be like, oh, I'm not supporting Grace Fit anymore because I heard she like was not nice to one of her workers in her factory. It's like, well, hang on a sec.
It's like, I heard you last night.
Yeah.
I heard you last night in your group chat. Sorry.
So maybe if we, the problem is then the more people get cancelled, the more people get scared to have these real conversations with their friends, because you don't want to offend anybody, you don't want to insult anybody, and also you're insecure in your own morals, you're insecure in your own goodness or not, that you don't want to, you know, and people don't want to have these conversations in real life. They want to turn the lens on everybody else and say everyone else is cancelled and I'm fine and I'm just going to go away and like hide and never speak out about anything or blah blah blah.
This is what I mean by cancel culture, or the idea of cancelling people becomes a way for privileged people to convince themselves that they're on the right side, when often you're not on the right side. In your life, in what ways are you on the right side of this? When there was I don't know how much we're going to say about this, but there was recently some fragmentation, let's say, in our bubble of the internet, and people would often come to us or like,
well, what do you think about blah blah blah?
Yeah, which I love because we're all trying to work it out.
So basically, over the, if you follow us and if you're in this space, you probably already know that over the past couple of months there's been a bit of a blow up in terms of like the biggest kind of influencers in this space, and it's being kind of called in the media as like a cat fight between two women, which
just undermines everything.
To reduce it, yeah, to like a kind of two girls throwing their
books out of the pram
is just ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. I think if you are finding yourself as a white person turning to non-black influencers to figure out how you should feel about a black woman being like publicly shamed
and bullied,
let's stop there. You can't like just, and also you don't need, maybe if you're not sure, that's, go away. Like you don't need to be sure. Yeah, you're not the fucking prime minister, you're no one's asking for a fucking press conference from you. I think what is important is that I know at the end of the day when I turn this microphone off, yeah, and we stop recording, I know I'm a good person. I'm happy with my morals and I'm happy with my behaviours, and I know that I'm kind to people and blah blah blah, and I know the same of you, and I give myself, well, I give you, Seffi, the benefit of the doubt because I know you. The white people in their group chats with the other white people give the other white people the benefit of the doubt because they know them. So you can give yourself the benefit of the doubt, but know that you're doing, and just be, you can have confidence in the fact that you're doing enough. And I also think, and I said this to Seffi, and I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but are you really that upset about a black woman being like shamed and not being credited for her work? Are you really upset about like a 21, 22 year old white woman being cancelled and like bullied? Or are you just upset that your social group that you looked to form your opinions on has now split off and you don't know what to believe anymore? Now you don't know, your mob has been broken, your echo chamber has been broken,
and you need a quick fix to see which one is right, who's wrong here, when realistically there is no right and wrong, black and white in that way. What is wrong is a black woman being bullied and potentially having her work stolen, but also what is not right is cancelling women that you would do the exact same behaviour.
Exactly.
A lot of the people that I see cancelling this person, I don't know how specific we're going to be here.
I think be specific. I'm ready to be cancelled.
But a lot of the people I see saying, let's cancel. It's like, don't tell me that if you were offered multi-thousand pound deals, you wouldn't be doing the exact same thing or less. That isn't right. But don't fucking tell me that you're a saint when you're not.
And this is why you have to know in yourself, and you do have to think like, okay, I'm like, don't just say, oh yeah, I'm great, like blah blah blah, if you kind of know, like actually you've got the evidence that you're not. But this is why these things carry on, is because it's easy to look back on history
and point the finger.
It's easy to be British and look back on like American segregation and think, oh, they've put all the pictures in black and white, so it was ages ago, and like I know that if I was there I would be in the right,
I would have been the one person. No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't necessarily. I was saying to my boyfriend the other night, like if you were in like kind of ancient Rome, say you've got a society of 5,000 people and you're in it and the 4,999 of them are gay, what, you think you're going to be the one straight one? No. of course you not.
Like, you're sucking dick day and night.
We're just here emulating what we see. Bend over, boy. Bend over now. Like,
it brings it back to so much of the things that people were saying. A lot of people were using the phrase mob mentality. And that's it. It's conformity. Who's the person we're cancelling now? This person. Everyone go and drag them. Mm. Which that is obviously the least productive thing. Because whilst we're all doing that within our kind of relatively left-wing, progressive, quote-unquote, circle, the fucking right-wing fucking Tommy Robinson nutters, they're banding up. So what are we doing wasting our time doing this when actually Boris Johnson is voting to cancel free school meals?
Mm.
Fuck this. Like, we're literally fighting over shit.
Being angry at people who are on your team.
We always talk about this, actually. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this podcast and you're engaging in a space of, like, women's issues in this way, we all basically here don't want women to get raped and murdered. That's the crux of what we're getting at here when we talk about pedophile culture, when we talk about sexuality, all of these things. We're basically talking about the fact we don't want women to get more hurt than they have been. So stop going,
I didn't like the way that you didn't want women to get raped. I wanted it to be that women didn't get raped like this. Yeah, and it's like, well, the rapists are about to rape us, quick.
Yeah, like, let's
stop hating each other. Yeah.
Well, they're doing it right now. Like, right now that is happening. So whilst you're arguing and nitpicking over specific bits of language and specific phrases that were used because mm-hmm. people aren't educated in every way that you have been educated and people's experiences are completely vast and different, whilst that is happening, I mean, just look to your left. There's a huge fucking army of people coming to rape you.
It's true. And also, like, Trisha Paytas always says this, she always says, you can edit anyone. If you've got content from anybody, you can edit. And it's funny because you wouldn't have to try very hard to edit her to look like a bad person.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not that I think she is a bad person, but blah, blah, blah.
She kind of does that for herself.
If you right now wanted to put together parts of this podcast that made me out to be a fucking chef, you probably could. You could string some pieces together to make it out like I was a pilot. You could string some things together to make me out to be a paedophile. You could.
It's the bit in Scooby-Doo 2, Monsters Unleashed, where he says, you're just trying to make it look like I think Coolsville sucks. And they cut it up, so he says on the news, Coolsville sucks. And everyone thinks he thinks Coolsville sucks.
Coolsville sucks.
But Fred never said that. He said, you're trying to make it look like I think Coolsville sucks.
Scrappy mentality.
So I was watching an IGTV by Africa Brooke, who everyone
is stunning.
Already follows, but go follow. And she was talking about wokeness. She did a whole post. There's definitely a discourse going along.
It's like 3 hours long, that IGTV, right?
It was like a live IGTV. And it's about cancelling wokeness. Like the idea of being woke, like I'm not woke, you can cancel me, whatever.
I hate to jump in. But just between takes, we were just saying, cancel me, go on, cancel me. Like, and we were talking about dicks. So it's just like, look, I just want to remind you that this is like, you can, if you place someone as an authority, you're only going to, like, we've all got a bit of a problem with authority. So you're always going to have a bit of a problem with the way that they decide to lead, etc.
It's so fucking true.
Go on, take it away, Africa Brooke.
Africa Brooke was saying the phrase that we are hearing a lot is hold people accountable. You've got to hold people accountable. But she was saying, what does that fucking mean?
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing of, we've got to cancel people to hold them accountable. In what ways are you holding people accountable? And she was saying that more often than not, when people say hold them accountable, quote unquote, it means bully them, dox them, out them, come at them from all angles, which isn't productive. And I agree, it's not productive in that way of holding people accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But the ways in which you can hold people accountable are in your life.
Yeah.
Go small scale. Your life is pretty small scale. Don't go for fucking a girl on the internet that said blah, blah, blah that you don't like, because trust me, that will be happening. Well, it might not be happening and that can still happen. But first of all, you're fucking a guy that's homophobic, I'm pretty sure.
Right now, yeah, yeah.
Your dad saying
that you can't bring home a black boy. And you're just letting it happen.
Look at yourself. In what ways are you fatphobic?
Yeah.
In what ways are you homophobic?
Yeah.
I think there's a whole thing about the holding people accountable. Yes, yes, but stop using that as like a stock phrase.
Also, you don't have the power to hold people accountable.
No.
Because Shane Dawson did all of these things and he's still in his mansion and he can, you know, pretending that he's poor, but he's not. He's living a beautiful life. He can, there's a dip in the pool, a trip to the spa, endless days in my shades. Honestly, the whole world according to moi. They just pretended that they hated me for a bit.
Yeah, you can wear that scruffy t-shirt for a bit with like snot stains on it or whatever, but you're still in a mansion. Shane, you're still in a mansion. You still asked a 12-year-old to kiss you at a book signing. Shining when you were like 28.
Oh, let's not. But yeah, it's true. You don't have the power to hold people accountable if they're not, but you've got lots of people right now. You've got the access to so many things.
To so many people. And yourself.
And yourself, yeah.
Hold people accountable. Fuck yes. But it's such an easy out of like, how are you doing? How are you helping? How, what are you doing here? I'm holding people accountable. Are you? Have you even engaged in any way in that? Or is it just a quick and easy out? It's kind of, I'm doing the work.
Yeah.
I'm doing the work. In what ways? In what ways are you doing that?
Yeah, it's true. I had quite a beautiful conversation with my cousin the other day. And he is, you know, he's about 31. And he's white, like he's Irish and gay. And we had a really interesting conversation about loads of things, sexuality, race, etc. the other day. And at the end of the conversation, he said, I thought I was really forward thinking, but speaking with you, and it's like, you're not even 10 years younger than me and you're already, I feel like you're so much more forward thinking than me, blah, blah, blah. We had a really nice conversation about so many different things. And within part of the conversation, a small part of it was talking about the massive Black Lives Matter movement of last year that's still obviously continuing now. And he was having trouble with the idea that like rioting is not something that we should really talk about because...
And also the word riot. What? The framing of the word riot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, where were the riots? Like a couple people stole a pair of trainers. Like,
fucking insane.
He had said that he was originally like, no, like, of course, like, rioting is great, not great, but whatever. Like, to talk about rioting is a distraction from the actual problem. And then kind of was saying, you know, that aggression or blah, blah, blah takes, like, makes people not want to learn. And the way that you can learn is by empathizing and blah, 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 which I agree. The way that you can learn is by empathizing with people. However, by the end of the conversation, he was like, no, because I had said that it's kind of nonsensical to project your own view of like morality and ethics onto somebody else. If I had been raised, I've been raised with the emphasis of like stealing is wrong and I still steal every now and then. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I've been raised with all of these values.
Are we really saying that?
Yeah, I think so.
Are we coming out as thieves?
I think we're coming out. I've been raised with the notion that in exchange for my goodness in society, in exchange for my behaviour, I will be treated relatively fairly by my government. That is not a luxury that someone in the South Side of Chicago had in June of 2020 yeah. throughout their whole lives. That's not, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, so we got to the end of the conversation and he was saying how he thought he was really, really forward thinking, but there's always still more to be done. And he was talking about like his experience of being gay, and like just the abuse that he'd had over the years and blah blah blah. It was really nice to be able to have a really frank conversation because we both knew that we weren't going to cancel one another. We're always going to have a place in each other's lives and we could have a really productive and like informed conversation
where you're working things out together.
Yeah, because he had a lot of emphasis on surrounding yourself with people that are different to you and empathizing with them is the way to understand people and the way to make change, which I completely agree. And I was thinking about how growing up in London in like a really diverse, like in my school even was super diverse, meant that I can tell the difference between me and my boyfriend who grew up 45 minutes out of London, and the difference is so stark. Not that he's like this crazy racist person, because he's really not, he's actually like really on it, but I know the difference in the way that he was brought up because you can feel it. Is this about cancel culture? I don't know, it's just an interesting chat. I don't know, cancel me quick.
I completely agree though. You can feel the difference in people, and that's why it's not about imposing your own reality onto people you don't fucking know. You don't know what people have been through and you don't know everything about people's lives.
Yeah, you don't.
So it's quite easy, especially with people on the internet, because you have the illusion that you know them. You have the illusion that they're your best friends. I mean, I think that about so many fucking people that I listen to their podcasts or that I watch on YouTube. I mean, I fucking had that about Shane Dawson. It's fucking embarrassing.
And even yesterday, you and I had a really good combo on race, with me having a bit of a breakdown being like, so I'm half West Asian and half like white Irish. To me, my conversation with you, a white person, was so productive and affirming for me, even about the parts of me that, especially about the parts of me that aren't white, because I know, because you're my friend and you're educated and it's useful. You have a place to speak. I think at the moment about cancel culture and wokeness and policing is that everyone knows they're going to say the wrong thing, because of course you're going to say the wrong thing. You're not going to say always the right thing, are you? Of course not. Of course you're not. But that means that then you can't speak. No. Unfortunately, if you want to put in the work, you're going to offend people and you're going to say the wrong thing. And it's not okay to be offending people because your impact is not exclusive from your intention. Just because you meant to be nice doesn't mean you're not being really offensive.
Completely.
You need to be prepared to make mistakes, basically.
This is what we wrote on the poll, actually, when we wrote, if everybody's lives, thoughts and behaviours were public, would most people be cancelled? 93% of you said yes.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're afraid to speak because it's almost this idea that if you say anything publicly, yeah, online or anything, then you've got to come out with this like weird, disgustingly formal statement, like a sort of a big apology. It's like, no.
Yeah, and it's like, I'd rather be trying. I'd rather be speaking than not. Because I think more is being done when we come together and just like chat publicly and like openly about things than if you just hide away from them. Because I think that's the British problem as well, is you hide away from racism and pretend it's gone away, and actually it just becomes far more insidious and sophisticated.
Well, it's like in silence, yeah, let it just, yeah, fucking breed and grow.
Exactly.
But I think we've been having this conversation a lot recently because the podcast is growing, the community is growing, all of this stuff.
We honestly think we're Kylie fucking Jenner.
We do think we're Kylie Jenner, but I think we've had to have those conversations where it's like, are we going to speak or are we going to not? And it's like, actually, as everyone voted on the thing, it's, we're going to get cancelled. Like, yeah, fucking so true.
Yeah, thanks for that. So we put on the story, is it only a matter of time until Steffi and Wing get cancelled?
Everyone said yeah,
and everyone said we were your problematic phase, which is stunning. But yeah, it is only a matter of time.
We've been having to have that, are we willing to risk that? And it's kind of like, yeah. Because also there's something Africa Brooke was saying in her thing, actually. It's like, I exist in the real world, and she was like, I exist in the real world and so do you, by the way. And it is. It's like, they're not going to fucking come to your house.
Yeah.
These people aren't going to come to your house and go, you said this specifically wrong phrase. And yes, you should learn. If you're saying a wrong phrase, you should fucking learn it. You should become educated from it.
Yeah.
But someone making a mistake, we're all doing that in our living rooms anyway. So we might as well just do it publicly and be human.
Exactly.
Be human. If it's a cancelable offense to be human and to make mistakes and want to learn and have good intentions and be a good person, then to be honest, cancel the fucking whole world.
Exactly.
A lot of people have bigger platforms and don't give a shit. They actually actively don't give a shit if women are raped. They don't give a shit if black people are being killed. They don't give a shit if trans people are getting beaten up.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck, and they've got huge platforms. So people that are trying, genuinely trying and getting cancelled,
keep trying.
It doesn't sit right.
This is a consequence of all these conversations, is the fact that, and I said this to my cousin and he was really impressed, which is, it's obviously nowhere near enough, but it is evidence of change. So yeah, we should celebrate the small change, but also make sure that in our own lives we're all doing as much as possible. But I was saying, by the end of university, every single term, the first semester, we went around and gave our pronouns as like an introduction, like, oh, I'm Erin, like, I'm doing this, like, I'm interested in politics because of blah blah blah, and my pronouns are she and her, next, on to the next. And that in a million years would never have happened, even when my cousin would have gone to uni, and he's only 7 years older than me.
It is a symbol of change, because also even the idea of pronouns would be completely foreign to, for example, my grandparents.
Well, foreign to us, even like 5 years ago, it would have been like, oh, literally. Right, okay, yeah, I'm learning. And that's not to say that the symbols of change are like the evidence of tangible change, like on the ground, but that feeds into all realms of society if you are proactive in learning, which I think if you're occupying a space that's talking about cancel culture and all of these topics, then you are. What matters is that when you stop listening to this podcast and you go to bed at night, you're thinking, am I that bad? Am I okay? Okay, so I like this message this person said. I like wokeness in that it's rooted in the black concept of staying awake, but cancel culture is acting like a cop. And it's like, exactly, yeah. Everyone wants to act as if they're staying awake and being woke. But if your wokeness is just, if you're a white person, you as a white person navigating through the online world as a policeman and pointing your finger at all of the people that you want to say are wrong.
Counterintuitive.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That's not acceptable.
It's not your job to be the woke police. It's not your job to sort of police everyone's, in which ways are they racist, in which ways are they racist, when you haven't even
investigated that in yourself.
Taken one step in your real life to look at your own racism. And even the fact that you feel like you have the authority to do that as a white woman or a white person.
It's so fucking true. Because I remember saying to you, and I think I said this to you yesterday, this is ages ago, this was like before, maybe it was just before the Black Lives Matter like really picked up in like the June of last year. It was just before that. And
COVID summer times.
It was COVID summer times, yeah, which we're about to get right into.
Summertime sadness. Yeah,
the summertime sadness vibes. Take two, I think, is coming, but anyway.
Can't wait. Maybe I will see you in the summer. I mean, could you imagine?
Oh, don't, literally.
When
don't.
You guys see us together on the story.
No, because when I see you in the same room, honestly, I can't cope.
Oh, I'm like, when they see. It's like, yeah, when also when I see you.
And I'm, yeah, you're like, let's monetize it.
It's like, I don't want to see you unless there's a fucking camera there.
I'm a cash cow to you and nothing else. When I see you, you'll just be shaking me up and down trying to get coins out of me.
Animal Crossing vibe. Hitting you with my shovel.
Literally. But just before all of that, I remember we got one message, and this was, we were a lot smaller back then, and it was a white girl had messaged us. I don't know if she really even kept up with us all that much, probably not. Like, she's probably not never gonna hear this. She was like bored of them, whatever, Seffy and Wing, like, they're so annoying, bye. But I remember she sent a message of like, actually, like, you are blah 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 blah. And I remember saying to you yesterday, like, this stuck with me since then, because I was the one who read it, and I remember saying to you, like, listen, Stephanie, like, have you ever wanted to be white?
Don't say her name.
She's not here. Also, how many Stephanies are there? There's a million Stephanies.
Look, Steph is about you.
Steph, honestly, Harry, I now speak directly to you. But have you ever wanted to be white? Have you? No, you haven't. Right, because you are completely white. Right, so please don't come to me and talk to me about how I should feel about anything about whiteness or race, because you haven't been there.
Well, I think it's that people look and they assume, oh, it's two white girls.
Yeah.
But they don't see the nuance, and they don't see that it may not be the case, because I think it's easy to say, Wing, you have no understanding of...
She's just spicy looking. She's just exotic looking. But actually, and even this is again something with cancelling, that it's like, it's taken me a long time to even learn that I can speak about some experiences with race, because I do experience race and culture in a way that white people is different from white people only knowing race as like an academic phrase, because you get to live as the default. It's like, no, I lived my whole life literally like in child, I wished and wished and wished that I would just be completely white, which breaks my heart. And I'm allowed to say that. And I'm not scared of being cancelled for speaking about rape, because I think part of it is like, oh, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. It goes without saying. I don't think I'm taking up space by being like, look, this is my little experience and I'll shed light on it here and there. Here's just a little insight into my life. Absolutely. It goes without saying that my existence is not the pinnacle of racism. I'm not the poster child of oppression by any means. And my experience with race in no way compares to what black women experience and what my experience would be if I was a black woman. But I'm allowed to speak about the nuances of race and culture because I have experienced it. And it also, the longer I don't speak about it, the further I perpetuate the white supremacy in me that makes me lean so much into my whiteness. So cancel me, bitch. I'm fucking ready. Steph, come and get me.
Well, that's particularly annoying, because also it's just assuming your identity and also getting it, kind of telling you what you are and saying something that doesn't align.
Well, we get a lot of wanky messages anyway, not even about Ray. We just get a lot of people being like, actually, Katniss wasn't performed. No, I can't say that.
Well, no, I got some, well, we did get someone that said, actually, I went to film school too, and blah, blah, and I just wanted to say, I didn't go to fucking film school.
She didn't go to fucking film school. Like,
you assume that I went to film school.
And this is the problem with cancelling people like on the internet, is you just fill in the blanks. So if I give you a comment about, oh, I love Harry Potter, and you infer she's transphobic, and there is so much rooted in that. It's a massive conversation.
But let's have the convo.
Yeah, let's have that combo then. Like, let me assure you that I'm doing all that I can.
It's also funny though, because it's not very often. We've never got, you're transphobic because you like Harry Potter.
Not yet.
It's always, the message always comes from a cis white woman or a man, more often than not, but it really does. Somebody that is sitting within their privilege, yeah, and going, actually, it's transphobic that you would like Harry Potter.
Well, it comes from a lot of guilt as well.
It's totally white guilt. It's white fragility. It's the idea that it's like, no, it's you. It's pointing the finger rather than looking at.
I didn't ask you to speak. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you're white, so you're like, Stephanie, you're probably more fucking racist than me. Meh. Like, I'm not saying that, because I think you didn't need to come to my DMs. You don't need to prove anything. This isn't about the optics of who you are. This is about your actions in your day to day.
Exactly. This isn't a black tile moment.
This isn't the black square moment.
This isn't post a black tile and then move on to your racist lie.
Yeah. It reminded me, remember we were talking about Shane Dawson? I think this was like before he'd been cancelled. And I was, oh no, maybe it was after he'd been cancelled. And I was cancelled, quote unquote, whatever. And I was saying, like,
cancelled, uncancelled, then cancelled again, yeah, then uncancelled, then cancelled, yeah, again. And this one's the final one though. And it's kind of
the
like,
final cancellation. Yeah. You can't make someone care about something if they don't. You just can't. Because I remember saying, like, look, if I was Shane Dawson, I had that massive platform sitting on so much money and a massive audience, and I grew up in a small town, and it made me upset to be, like, gay, or it made me upset to be feel like I was fat, I could really easily, like, partner with Diet Coke, something that I love, and go to my small town, and I could run these youth groups for, like, gay boys who are, like, insecure about the way that they look. Just off the top of my head, I remember saying that to you, and I thought that's a fucking good idea. And it came to me naturally, because that is naturally what I would do.
What you would want to do, yeah.
And maybe that is what Shane Dawson would do, and there's lots of... I'm not in that position, so I don't know how intimidating it is to have a massive platform.
But it's not what he wants to do, because what he wants to do is make a video about fucking analysing Jake Paul's career. It's like, that's bizarre, completely bizarre, and platforming all these awful, horrific people.
The crux of it is you can't make people care if they don't, but also lots of people do care, and they care as much as you. So take the lens off, take the microscope off.
But the crucial bit is, whilst you're analysing, does Jenna Marbles give a shit about black people? Which the answer is probably there. She probably does.
She probably does, and yeah, she's probably not doing enough. Probably. And those two things can coincide, yeah.
Whilst you're doing that, Trump's fucking inauguration's going, isn't
it? Yeah, or while Jenna Marbles is doing that, you're doing far less, speaking about Jenna Marbles not doing enough.
Whilst you're arguing about a girl whether she hired the correct diversity checker, which she should have done, you haven't been offered a book, but if you were offered a book, would you be hiring a diversity checker?
What would it look like? Exactly.
I don't know if that would have crossed your mind, but some people that are doing the minimum are doing more than you. Sorry, there's something on my fucking computer screen. I really wanted to get that off, but it looked like I was kind of like tickling your little face through the webcam. I was like, fucking get that crumb off my screen.
ASMR.
It's from our messy breakfast that we just had.
From our messy breakfast. Okay, go on then. It's kind of, what are they called? Tubby
custard.
Tubby custard. That's beautiful.
Which one was your favourite Teletubby? Did you have one?
I think I fancied someone.
Oh, well, it was 100% Tinky Winky.
I think I fancied the purple one. Is that Tinky Winky, the purple one? Because I also fancied Milo a lot.
Milo. A vibe.
Milo is fucking
spiky hair.
Fit as fuck.
Spiky hair. A vibe.
So hot.
Oh my god. I wanted to be Fizz so much from the tweenies, but everyone said, you're such a Bella.
You're Bella.
Such a Bella.
And you are Bella through and through.
Bossy boots.
You are. Honestly, bossy boots.
The amount of times I was fucking called bossy boots. Fuck off.
Yeah.
You hate women.
Fuck that. It's not fucking real. Just say you hate women and go.
You wanted to box me in when I was 3 years old.
Just say you hate little girls and go.
You cunts. You misogynist cunts. You hate her. You hate that child because she doesn't want to talk to the boys. Or she'll tell the boys what she thinks. But anyway, Bella's an icon.
What was Fizz's personality?
Fizz didn't have a personality, but she had beads in her hair and a little pink flowery skirt.
Well, that's all you need, really, isn't it, to be a young girl in the early 2000s?
And that was enough to be like, I don't want the one with the personality. I want to be that one with the pink skirt.
Jake's personality was that he was scared.
Jake's had a fucking weird banana dick on his head.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of like he was on fire.
Google the tweenies if it could just be a British thing. I don't know.
I was fully obsessed with the tweenies.
The tweenies, yeah. Do you know what was weird? Where were they?
It was almost like a little playgroup.
But why were there four people and two adults?
I mean, I'd love, it's kind of there in my dreams. That's, I'd love to be there.
Max and Judy.
Or maybe it's kind of like a childminder situation.
There was one episode of the tweenies that I was obsessed with where there was a cartoon dragon, and I used to cry over the dragon and say it's the cutest thing I've ever seen and cry because it didn't exist.
That's so you. That's the most you thing I've ever heard.
Kind of like it gave me that Puss in Boots feeling where, you know, Puss in Boots holds the hat and its eyes go so big.
And you know it's the cutest thing you've ever seen, yeah.
And I couldn't believe it, and I said it as my screensaver, but the dragon, I'd love to see it now because it's probably not that cute. The dragon from the tweenies, a red dragon.
Should I Google it?
Google that motherfucker. If it's not cute, I'm going to cry. Found it. It's episode 21. Oh, oh. God, they're annoying.
That's cute. And you wanted it, what, as a pet?
It's fucking ugly as shit. I used to, like, cry over it. Weird as shit. Anyway, cancel culture. I'm gonna follow that with my point was about Caroline Flack, so now it doesn't really fit.
Oh god, okay, no, go
but
on.
I wanted to talk about the fact that last year had suddenly sharp change of tone from the tweenies dragon to
Caroline Flack.
Last year there was a huge moment, I feel, in the discourse about cancel culture, whereas everyone's known cancel culture has been fucked for years, but cancel culture became a big thing in the UK anyway last year when Caroline Flack died, and she had basically been bullied by the tabloids for like the months before her death,
leading up to her death.
And there was this huge moment where it was like, hold the tabloids accountable, if you pardon the pun of accountable, it's classic, hold them accountable, but also do fucking nothing to the tabloids, let them get away with it. But there was a huge moment where it was like, is this gonna change, are the tabloid magazines and newspapers gonna be allowed to talk about celebrities like this, bully them to the point that they end up dying? I think there was a moment where it was like an acknowledgement that this has to change. Women can't be having this and men can't be having this, but it was specifically targeted at this celebrity who really...
There was a domestic violence case.
There were things that she'd done wrong, but there was so much nuance there.
That she hadn't been afforded.
She hadn't been afforded any nuance, and she ended up dying by suicide, it's horrific.
There was a really interesting point that so many people actually made about how cancel culture only works if you're trying to cancel a woman. And I thought it was quite interesting to liken it, if I was at uni and I was still doing like anthropology and history and politics and those sorts of things, I would have likened it to the witch hunts.
Yeah.
And that this is, and I know everyone does that, but like, I'm not going to get a fucking A star for that, but...
No, you would.
It is the kind of easier thing of, if you know you're cheating on your husband, quite good to point your finger at your neighbour who's a bit of a bitch and get her cancelled instead of all eyes are on you.
Yeah, completely.
And you're now a witch and we're going to kill you.
Well, this is the thing. If you know that you wouldn't hire a diversity checker, it's pretty good to look at the girl that didn't hire a diversity checker and go, you didn't hire a diversity checker, or you hired the wrong diversity checker. Which you did hire the wrong diversity checker.
Yeah.
But would you have hired a diversity checker? Would that have crossed your mind? There are plenty of male authors, white male cis authors, that didn't even cross their mind, and they've made millions.
I don't know what it is.
It wouldn't even occur to them as a thought.
And they don't care. Yeah, they don't care. I feel like all of this comes back to this point that I wanted to make, actually, that Slumflower said, Chidera Egaru said on her stories, about it's easier to stand up. This all comes back to this point, I feel. It's easier to stand up for like the black woman in your mind.
Yeah.
It's easier to stand up for the black woman kind of 60 years ago.
The hypothetical black woman, I think it was.
Yes, the hypothetical.
It's easy to stand up for hypothetical black women.
Yeah, and it works for anyone. It's easier to stand up for someone who is hypothetically being oppressed, and you can understand that as a construct in your mind, than to identify it in yourself when you are seeing it directly play out in your life and in your circle. And when there are things that you can do,
it's easy to say, oh, I'm not racist, because yeah, you might not have racist thoughts.
Racism isn't about you're going around pointing at people calling them the N-word. It's absolutely far more.
Well, it doesn't mean that you hate black people even. It doesn't mean that you have any active thoughts. It's more about this passive undercurrent of privilege and kind of emotions you have and vague feelings that you have, that you are kind of, as a white person, like able to do things. And you almost see yourself as like the default.
Mm.
It's like your experience is the default and anything else is othered. It's not meaning that you're actively going out and being racist.
And also it's about situations where you have to give things up. Like there are situations that you have to be prepared to maybe, like, I don't know your life, but I know for me, like, and I can think of one explicit example where an opportunity was brought to me, and by making it clear that it was very important to me that it wasn't, that I'm not like I'm not token,
yeah,
and that I'm not going to work for diversifying your feed, and that I, is there a black woman here, basically? And you immediately get shut down. On the phone, I said to him, just to make sure, like, if this is what I'm doing in a group, what does the group look like? Like, is this an inclusive group? And he was like, yeah. And I thought, you're fucking lying to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, liar.
You're fucking lying to my fucking face.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a publicly...
You're not getting any cred for that.
You don't have to go around screaming.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't go around screaming about the things that you do. Just make it a habit when you're learning. But and it's be prepared to miss out. It's like, yeah, I really could have done with the money, but like, whatever. It's important that these things happen, because if you're not going to do it, who is? And I also think if you're a people pleaser like me, it's like, what, you're going to kind of people please your way through life? Is that what you're going to end up in the back of a KKK meeting because you never said no to anyone, or you never set any boundaries, or you never established your beliefs or stood up for anything that you actually cared about?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be prepared to call things out in your day to day. But look, like, it's just, there's nuance here, obviously.
I think more often than not, it gets confused with a competition of, I am publicly this, I'm publicly this. But I think when you're doing that so publicly, there's an assumption that you're doing it privately, but are you? And I just think the main fucking message is that it's important to think for yourself and not look to kind of white influencers or icons to be telling you what to think. And also that it's so much more important to be doing this privately in your life rather than posting a black tile, cancelling someone online, or doing any of these like performative or optical allyship, I believe is the term. Any of these things, they don't mean a lot. They're like literally like 1% of the things you should be doing. But what people are actually doing is nothing but just them, just that, as if that's kind of enough. Or kind of you take your selfie with, why, I'm no longer talking to white people about race. But you don't fucking read it, and you don't tell your racist brother to read it, and you don't do anything other than take a photo of it just because you want to look like you're doing it without actually having to confront the things within you that make you uncomfortable.
The reality of it, yeah. And those symbols of change are important.
It's a symbol of change, it's not change.
So fucking true. But it's true, like, yeah, let's just all look forward to the day that we get cancelled. And if you're doing anything publicly, you're going to get cancelled too. Like, but I know at the end of the day, when I turn this podcast off, I'm happy with who I am and I'm happy with my behaviours.
Do you think cancel culture is kind of a thing that's going to like continue, or do you think we've reached a peak? Because I very much viewed the Caroline Flack thing as like, fuck, this is like a boiling point and this is either going to go one way or the other now.
I think we're at a boiling point for sure.
Yeah.
I think we're at a boiling point for sure, but I also think it's interesting to see the turn of a generation with social media. And I know a lot of people were speaking on the stories about pulling up somebody's tweet from 10 years ago where they said something homophobic is not the same as like actually interrogating whether they are today homophobic. I remember seeing somebody tweet, it was like a kid tweeted, you know, she was only 18 when she said that, and she's 28 now, or whatever. They were talking about a public figure who had said some homophobic things, some classist things, whatever, when the internet was first
emerging.
And this kid had commented saying like, well, look, they said that when they were 18, that's not an excuse, because, you know, I'm 13 and I would never say that. And it's like, yes, but you're 13 in 2020, or you're 13 in 2021, so of course you would never say that.
Yeah.
Versus this person was 18 in like 2007. So you're only, as we said, if you were in a society where 5,000 people were gay, where 4,999 people were gay, you're not going to be the one straight person. You might be, but the chances are you're going to emulate what you see, because that's what you do. And if you were 18 in 2007, you would only be emulating 2007. And I just watched a documentary a couple of days ago where I saw that the early 2000s were fucking crazy, were fucking mental. And that lives in all of us. If you were there, you've internalized internalize lots of different things. You are a product of this gross society. As long as you know that you're acting and doing what you can to move beyond the grossness, I'm happy with that.
And in lots of ways, it's like, that's not enough. But in lots of ways, it kind of is enough. Like, it's not enough to be acknowledging it within yourself because it needs to change.
Well, we still have the temptation to say, I promise you I'm doing enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're tempted in this episode to be like, but guys, I promise you, like, I promise I'm not that bad. I know I'm saying I'm going to get cancelled, but I'm not that bad. It's like, of course I'm not. But it's also like, I don't want to be seen as giving people permission to take their foot off the gas and like not care about anyone. That's the problem. Yeah, I get you.
That's the thing that I want to make it really fucking clear. It's that we're not by any fucking means telling you that you're doing enough right now.
Because actually, what I think is really... No, sorry, I'm really overstepping.
You're not. Do it. Do it. Go. Please go. If you don't go, I'll kill you.
Another thing that I wanted to say was that what's really been, I think, disgusting to watch over the past couple of months is not the fact that people are coming... A lot of people are coming out and saying, I'm not claiming wokeness anymore. I'm not an activist anymore. Whatever. I'm not a social justice warrior anymore. Mm. Fine. I think that's great. What I don't like is the public reaction specifically. Like, from, it's like young white women saying, oh, like, finally, like,
grim.
I knew this was grim. Ridiculous. It's like, just say you're knackered from caring about other people and go.
Yeah, just say you don't give a fuck.
Just say you wanted a break because you don't really care. That's what I don't really like, is that people think now they have permission to not try and be decent.
Well, this was one of the things with, I mean, we're being so vague, but we're being vague about this thing that's happened in the feminist world of Instagram, blah blah. You fucking all know what it is.
Well, because I don't want to reduce it to like a cat fight, because it's more than that.
No, and it's not. But one of the most damaging parts of this potentially was that another prominent figure who happened to be a black woman came forward and said, actually, this other black woman is difficult to work with, were the words she used, and that she is in the wrong here. She is not kind of to be trusted. That then gave a lot of white girls permission to be like, see, I knew she was a difficult woman to work with.
Yeah. But then also, then these other white girls from the other side wanted to come to that other black girl's DMs and say, how dare you put down that black woman? It's like,
literally,
how dare you come to her DMs?
How dare? Because realistically, all of these people are stunning, hardworking, amazing women. That is really what's going on. They are trying. They are in this world and they are trying.
And as long as you're trying, you don't have to be publicly trying.
Meanwhile,
you don't have to be putting a black square on your trying. You don't have to be storying that you're trying.
The whole thing to me is, meanwhile, kind of cut screen. On this side, we're all arguing over here. Cut screen on this side.
Yeah.
Look at the state. Look at the state of it.
It's kind of suffragettes. It's like, look, let's just pick a route and go. Stop hating each other. Also, you can definitely hear, I'm wearing, fuck this, just end the episode. I'm wearing a leather blazer in this episode. You can definitely hear me kind of Ross Gellering about the place, like Squeaks McGee.
That's the sort of shit I hate when I'm editing it.
Cancel me for it.
You are so bad when you kind of, you always have your AirPod little case in your hand, click, 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 is all I hear when I'm editing, like, cut that little click, cut that click.
You're going to hear me weeing in a minute because I really need to wee.
You're not doing that on the podcast. You're going to piss yourself on podcast.
And also, you've probably listened to this episode and there are loads of parts that you disagree with. As such, there are probably loads of episodes of ours.
I hope there are.
Yeah, exactly. There are loads of episodes of ours where we've been speaking about internalised misogyny and you disagreed with us for 20 minutes of it. Or rape culture or fucking paedophilic beauty standards or all of it. You probably disagree with us all the time. Good. I'm sure I disagree with some of the things that you would say. I disagree with my friends all the time. Like, Steffi, you made a good point before we started recording that it's like, my mum offends me all the time. I offend my mum all the time. She's my mother. We offend each other. We apologise. Like, I offend my best friends all the time. I say the wrong thing all the time.
And so do you, by the way.
Absolutely. So do you.
But there's this idea that as soon as you have a microphone in front of you, a camera in front of you, or that you're posting on social media, that basically means as soon as you have someone looking at you, whether the audience is imagined or not, suddenly there has to be this illusion of perfection that you have never said a right word. You know all the terms. You're on top of all the latest discourse.
Academic journals. But it's, you do have a responsibility, but I think most people, well, maybe not most people, but I think a lot of people
have the responsibility because you care.
Yeah, I think a lot of people take that responsibility seriously. A lot of people don't, absolutely. But yet here they are with a platform. Jake Paul, Logan Paul. It's not the Africa Brooks of the world. that I'm going to be angry about waving my finger saying, you're not doing enough.
No.
Imagine. And I think there's a difference between like personally, like not really caring for somebody and just choosing not to follow them, or turning up in their DMs every day to say, you're not doing enough on this, you're not doing enough on that. We could say that about a million things. I could turn up to your DMs tomorrow and say, you're not doing enough for the Jewish community. Don't you know that anti-Semitism is rife at the moment and you're being really reductive about things and you're not progressive enough? And it would probably be fucking true, because it's true for me. I'm probably not doing enough. But lo and behold, I'm a fucking human being and I'm trying and I'm going to continue to try. As we say, you could paint me out to be a fucking pilot of a private jet if you wanted to.
We could make it look like Coorsville sucks.
We could make it look like Coorsville fucking sucks. You find the evidence for what you choose to believe, hey? Works in every situ.
It really does. It's the quote of all quotes.
It really is.
Well, I hope from this episode, what we've given you, what we hope to convey, I want this to feel like, one, we care. Two, but we're not scared. Like, I'm not scared to be human and fail in front of you. I'm not scared for this to kind of come across completely wrong, because the things I say in my living room come across completely wrong. The things I say on the phone come across completely wrong.
Yeah.
But we're trying and we're working. We can all look at ways in which we are going to make the changes in our life, to be there, to show up, to hold ourselves accountable, all these words. But what do they really mean? Like, what are we actually asking of people?
Yeah.
And what are we actually asking of ourselves? Let's like actually do it.
I really can't wait for them to hear this. I love you. I fucking love you, person listening. I love you. This obviously comes, we're coming, so much obviously has gone unsaid in this episode. And I was just going to say, we're obviously coming from a place of privilege in this episode in life anyway. We're coming from so many different places of privilege. But also, we're coming from a place of privilege in that we're surrounded by you listening, who is so amazing. And like, you do, like, this podcast is, the bones of this podcast is everyone's insights every week, which are not ours. Like, yeah. It's the bones of this podcast is, and I hate to say this community, but it is this community, and I don't have another word, it's my guy, like,
my squad.
It's there are real people here, it's the squad. Yeah, it's my girl squad.
Squad girls.
Yeah. Real, like, opinions and like thoughts. I just think it's really nice. So find those spaces, but keep breaking the echo chamber, and don't be too hard on yourself,
and don't be scared. Cancel culture is such a fearful thing.
I think it's easy to think it can never happen to you.
Yeah,
trust me, no one is too pure to be cancelled.
But according to the poll, everyone thinks it'll happen to us, which I honestly can't wait.
I can't wait
for the day. I wonder what it will be that gets us.
I don't want to say, because it will get me cancelled by saying it. I was gonna say it would be like a Harry Potter thing.
Yeah, probs.
It would be like, we spoke about something and people were like, they shouldn't have spoke about that, or like, they said it wrong, they didn't know how damaging it was, which is true. I'm sorry in advance.
Yeah, but basically whatever we've done, we're so fucking sorry. We were joking and we didn't mean it, and we love you.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this to come out, and I know we don't normally do this, but I just want to say at the end of the pod, like, we really do value you. Like, if this is your first time listening and you enjoyed it, or you hated it, you're probably definitely not still listening. Or if you've been here for a while, like, it really is valued.
If you hated it, if you're saying you hated it and you've got this far in, I think you kind of didn't hate it. Like, I think you're lying to
yourself. I think you are in love with us.
I think you're obsessed.
Seffy and Wingstan, see you next time. Unless we're cancelled between now and next Monday, then we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Maybe this is the episode that gets us cancelled and we just never make a comeback. Because Coorsville sucks.
Coorsville sucks, guys.
Coorsville sucks.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.